You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Well, good morning, I guess good afternoon, depending on where you're at. This is Pastor Richard with the Marriage Minute. My co-pilot, Pastor Donna, is away visiting family on a much-needed trip, and so glad that you could join me today. Hey, we're going to talk about offense some more. I'm going to talk about that today a little bit more. Last week we talked about, is offense keeping you from loving your spouse well? Today I'm going to talk about how can you overcome that spirit of offense? And so stay with me, because you're going to want to take this in. I believe it's a good word for today. And if you would, please, just like and share the broadcast. We believe this message for marriages. God has healed Pastor Donna and my marriage over the years, and we know that if He'll do it for us, He'll do it for you. And so we just believe by faith and just the experience that God has taken us through to deliver us and to restore and reconcile our marriage is that He can do that for you. So I want you to be encouraged. And so if you just like and share the broadcast to your friends and family, anyone that you know would like to just have a tune-up in their marriage, or they're looking to take their marriage to another level or come out of a crisis situation, please like and share the broadcast. We can be viewed on Revival Now Dan Steep on Facebook and YouTube. You can see us live from our website at revivalnow.com, and you can also watch us from the Revival Now app. So there's a lot of different ways that you can connect with us. So again, just please like and share the broadcast. So hey, we're talking about how to overcome the spirit of offense. And so last week we mentioned that, hey, everybody is, you know, prone to, or the opportunity, if you will, to become offended is just readily available to us in our marriages, in other relationships that we have. And so last week we mentioned to you that there's several sources for offense. One can be unforgiveness. Another can be just unmet expectations that we have toward our spouse. And we could have past hurts and wounds that our spouse may be triggering from our childhood. And so those were some of the things that we talked about last week. I'm not going to go into last week's message, but just go back and watch that if you haven't had an opportunity to do so. So the question really comes down to, how do I, you know, if Pastor Richard, I've been offended in my marriage, offended by my spouse, what can I do? What can I do to overcome that? Well, first and foremost, it requires intentionality. You have to be intentional about wanting to overcome this spirit of offense in your life. And you have to have a humble spirit. You have to be willing to surrender your right to be hurt. And I know that, look, I've been hurt in my life. I've been hurt in our marriage. And we feel that we have a right to be hurt. You know, we talk to other people. We become justified in our thinking and how we're feeling. And we have a right to have revenge toward our spouse. And it's hard to lay that down. But what I'm telling you is, by experience and by the power of God, that if you're willing to surrender that right, if you're willing to let that right go and say, no, there's a better way, and what I'm going to share with you today is the better way. God has the better way. He has a great plan and path for your life and your marriage. And if you'll just trust Him, He's going to take you to another level in your marriage that you didn't think was possible. And so that's what we want to talk about today. So just, you know, be intentional about dealing with the spirit of offense, dealing with the hurt that you've experienced, and surrender that right. And then the next thing I want you to understand and realize is that an offense or being hurt happens to us. Okay? So an offense, not being offended, but an offense or being hurt happens to us. But us, you and I, being offended is a choice that you and I make. It's absolutely a choice. And so maybe you haven't heard that before. Maybe you're like, well, this person offended me. You have a choice if you're going to be offended or not. You have a choice to just overlook what took place and say, no, I'm going to let God handle this. I'm not going to handle this situation on my own, because God knows better than I do how to deal with this situation, and I need his wisdom in this situation. And so realizing that you have a choice whether you're going to be offended or not, the hurt still may come, but you don't have to become offended by that. And so let me read a scripture for you from, it's actually on my phone. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11, and this is from the Amplified Version. I think this really spells it out for us. And so this is what it says. It says, good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is his honor and glory to overlook a transgression. Right there is to overlook is actually a verb, which means you have to make a choice. So in that moment when the hurt comes, you have to make a choice to overlook the transgression, the offense, or an offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. And we talked about this last week a little bit, where a spirit of bitterness can grow on the inside of you. When you become hurt, there's this resentment, there's a bitterness that becomes, you know, rooted in your spirit. And then everything then that comes from your spouse goes through that filter. Like everything they say, everything they ask you to do, you become offended by. And so it's because that root of bitterness and that spirit of resentment is residing on the inside of you, because you've become offended. You made the choice to become offended, and you want to handle things your own way. And so that scripture is really clear. So how do we overcome then? Well, first thing we have to do is we have to acknowledge that you were hurt by something your spouse either said or they did. And it could be something that seems very irrational. Like, why, you know, there's been times when, you know, Pastor Donna has upset me and I'm like, why is this bothering me so much? It doesn't even make sense. This is something so small and so minute. Why would I be getting upset about what she just said or what she just did? It doesn't make sense to me logically. If I pull myself out of that spirit of offense, and I can look from a bird's eye view in my situation, say, this doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why this is happening right now. Why did this bother me so much? And I think part of the issue is, and I believe part of the issue is, and I've seen this play out in my own life, is that when you become offended with someone and you have that resentment that is in your spirit and that bitterness that resides in your spirit, everything that comes from that person then goes through that filter. It's seen through that lens. And so your reaction, it's like this go-to place, is always going to be offense, and that person is trying to hurt you and everything that they say. And that's just not true. We talked about this last week a little bit, that, you know, sometimes there's belief systems that form when we're hurt or wounded in our childhood. And so those belief systems says, like, this person's always going to hurt me. Well, if that's playing out in your life, then everything that person does to you, or you perceive that they're doing to you, is filtered through that spirit of bitterness and resentment. You're always going to be offended. That's just going to be the path that it's always going to lead in your life. But you have to make a choice to break that. You can break that cycle today. It's possible. When you choose life, the Bible says, choose life. I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life. That's what God gives us an opportunity to do, to choose His way. His ways are better than our ways. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. And so if they are, then He actually knows best. I don't. You know, the world doesn't have the right answer to dealing with offense in your marriage. God does. He has the answer for that struggle, that hurt, that offense that may have happened to you. And God will bring that about in His timing. Can you say amen? So we have to acknowledge that, even though it's something small, but God is always ready. He's always ready to hear your cries. He's always ready. He's always willing to help you walk through your pain. And Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. You see, sometimes we want to exact our revenge right now, or we're starting to plan out and how we can do this to kind of get our pound of flesh, so to speak. That's a term or phrase that we sometimes use in the United States. But we want to get revenge, basically, on our spouse. And so we'll start to plan and to scheme and to figure that all out. But what God's really saying to us is, listen, I hear your cry. If you just wait patiently on me, if you just seek me, seek after me, you're going to find me. You're going to find my heart. You're going to find the way that I want you to handle this situation. And God's going to give you his wisdom. When you ask for wisdom, the Bible says, you'll receive wisdom. So you must ask for these things, and God will supply that to you. But you need wisdom in those situations when you become offended or you're hurt by your spouse. It's possible. God has answers to everything. He has answers to all things. So what does offense do? It attacks your mind, attacks your thoughts, and it affects your ability to process and understand. And I already mentioned this a few moments ago, but I believe that offense, when it's taken root in your life and you've got this bitterness and you've got this resentment in your spirit, it doesn't matter what comes from your spouse. The filter is always thinking that they're trying to hurt you or trying to wound you or trying to offend you. That's it, because it's rooted there, right? So it doesn't really matter what that thing is, and you struggle to process and understand because you don't you what's the word I'm looking for? You're struggling with the motivation. You're struggling from the motivation from your spouse. Why are they really doing this? And so the devil's the one that's whispering in our ears to try to destroy us, to try to destroy our marriage, and to get us off track. He doesn't want us to follow the path of God. That's what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say that? Does your spouse really love you? Does your spouse really care about you? That's what the devil's going to say in your ear. But you have to go back to the reason why you were married in the first place. You obviously saw something in each other, you know, through your dating and through your engagement before you became married. There was love there. There was a reason why you came together. And so did that person just magically just change to a totally different person? I mean, I guess it could happen. I've seen that happen in my own life, but deep down, you knew there was a reason why you married that person. And so you can't listen to the lies of the devil that would deter you from believing that your spouse is wanting to be for you. And ultimately, God's for you, and he wants to change the circumstances in your life. So offense attacks your mind, and you struggle with processing and understanding at times when you're dealing with that spirit of offense. It feeds the hurt. That's what offense does. It continually feeds the hurt. I've already said that. I mean, everything that comes from your spouse when you're dealing with offense is they're out to get me. They're out to hurt me. They're looking to do something to make me hurt and to feel bad. It just continues to feed that. And that's what that spirit does. The spirit of offense can also cause you to not acknowledge the hurt. Oh, that wasn't anything. That was my. I've done that in my life, and that really wasn't hurtful. And so, you've got to be careful that you don't allow that spirit of offense to affect you, to not acknowledge the fact that you were hurt. You've got to come forward, and you've got to say, "Yes, that did hurt me, but I'm going to handle it a different way." You know, healing can only take place in your life and in your marriage when you acknowledge the hurt. You have to acknowledge it. And so that's what offense can do to you. So that's number one. The way you overcome is you have to acknowledge. You have to acknowledge the hurt, and you have to trust God to help you through that hurt. Don't go on your own and figure out that, hey, I can figure this out on my own. I can talk to my friends, which leads me to the second point. Don't quickly turn to others for counsel without serious consideration and with prayer. What am I saying? I'm saying God's your source. God is your source. He's going to help you. I'm not saying, and don't hear me say this, I'm not saying you don't have a trusted friend that you can go to, but you don't need to go around gossiping to everybody about your issue. Why? Because not everybody's going to have wise counsel. I'm talking about somebody that has the wisdom of God, that is a believer in Jesus Christ, that trusts God as well, you need somebody that can come into your life and give you wise counsel. Well, only wisdom comes from God. And so one is, what I suggest to you is, to solve this issue and how to overcome the spirit of offense, is go to God first in prayer. Seek Him. Seek His face. Seek His direction on how to handle the situation. And then secondly, once you've done that, go to a trusted friend. Talk to your pastor about the situation. Go to a trusted friend that you know will give you a balanced view of what's taking place. Not to feed the hurt, right? That's what offense does. It's you don't want to look for someone that's just going to tickle your ears and just agree with you to keep you in that place. Why? Because when you're in that place of offense, you're bound. You're not free. You operate in bitterness, and you know it eventually just comes out, right? It just overflows out of you. So whatever in your heart is going to come out of your mouth, right? And so you're going to say that to anybody and everybody that's around you, and then, you know, without realizing it, you're starting to affect other people with your bad attitude because you're offended. And that'll spread beyond just your spouse. That'll affect all of your relationships. But most importantly, we're talking about marriage here. And so you don't want your marriage defiled by bitterness. You don't want offense and resentment to defile your marriage. You want to be healed from that thing. And so don't go to other people first. Go to God first. Allow Him to speak into your heart. Ask Him for wisdom. God, I need wisdom. Help me today. I'm hurt. I was hurt, but I need your help. How do I deal with this? How do I overcome this? Help me. Give me the strength. God, you said in your word, you'd never leave me or forsake me. I need you now. I need your wisdom. I need your voice in this situation. Help me. Help me. Cry out to God. He'll help you. He'll help you. He'll give you what you need when you need it. You know, the spirit of offense really just is two people. I mean, we're talked about when you see your brother sin, or there's something that's happened toward you or against you, you're supposed to go to them and bring that to their attention, right? You're not supposed to go and spread that to a bunch of other people. So offense happens between two people. It doesn't happen between others. So especially in your marriage, you want to go back to your spouse and have a conversation about it. Talk to them about it. Don't seek counsel from other people and make the problem bigger. You know, you're trying to build up a group of people that is on your side to support you, the way you're feeling. You don't want to do that. You've got to settle the issue and do that with your spouse, with God in the mix. That's what you want to do. Proverbs chapter 6 tells us a little bit about that. Proverbs chapter 6, and I'm reading in the New Living Translation, verses 16 through 19. It says, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things He detests. He detests haughty eyes, which is being prideful, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. Those are the things the Lord hates. You know, just thinking about that last one, a person who sows discord in their family, or discord in their family. You don't want to do that. And when you are going to other people to seek out their counsel for your situation, there's a real potential that you're sowing discord in your family. You're sowing discord between your husband and yourself. And so don't do that. Go to God first, and then really go to that one person that you know is going to give you godly wisdom and godly insight about the situation. It's okay to talk to other people, but do that with the right person. Do that with your pastor. Do that with a trusted friend. Allow them to really speak into your life and be in a position to receive that. Because you may hear something from your friend. You may hear something from God that isn't exactly what you want to hear. And that's okay. You need to hear that. It's for your benefit, actually. It's for the benefit of your marriage. It's to improve the relationship. Because we get short-sighted, and we think that offense doesn't hurt others. But when we choose to be offended, we can cause someone else to be offended. So don't be short-sighted. Don't think that your offense can't affect other people. Choose the right people to talk to about a hurt and offense that may have happened between you and your spouse. Allow them to help you to see it more clearly. The third thing you can do is pray. Pray for your grieving spirit. Pray for the hurt. Ask God to give you grace. Ask Him to help bring you through. Pray for your spouse. I know that's hard to do, but Jesus said, pray for your enemies. That's opposite of what you would think you would need to do. But we need to pray for our enemies. Not that your spouse should be your enemy, but you pray for them. You pray for their heart to be changed. Maybe you're just going through a hard time in your marriage. I mean, there's stages of cycles in our marriage. When you're first married, it's the honeymoon phase. Everything's going great and well. And then you get into about the fifth and the seventh year of your marriage and things start to fall apart. You're like, why did I marry this person? Well, the thing that may have attracted you in the very beginning when you marry them now is something that, you know, annoys you. And so, I mean, Don and I could speak about that in our own marriage. I mean, I was the youngest born, and being a youngest born, I mean, you know, my mom catered to me. I don't blame my mom. I mean, it was just a result of my upbringing. And so at some point in our life and marriage, my wife was tired of being my mom. So you can see that maybe that drew us together initially because she was looking for that. She was looking for someone that she could have influence over more easily. But at some point in our marriage and life, she said, you know, I don't like doing this anymore. So what drew you together may repel you as you move on later in life. So you need to pray. You need to pray for your spouse. You need to pray for the hurt that you're having. You know what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14. Let me look that up real quick. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. I'm finding that. Let me get on the right version here, New Living Translation. It says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You have to humble yourselves. That's one of the first things that I said at the beginning of this broadcast. You have to have a humble spirit. You have to have a willingness to surrender your right to stay hurt. That's what you have to do. Called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Now, a lot of times you hear that scripture being utilized when they're talking about praying for your nation. Like, you know, we've brought that up before about, you know, praying for our nation, praying for God's restoration of our nation, for our leaders, restoring our land back to freedom, the founders who founded our country. We pray for those things. We humble ourselves. We pray for our land. God will heal our land. Well, let me tell you something. That's one application of this scripture, but the other application of this scripture is your marriage. That's your land. That's your relationship, because that is a covenant between God, you, and your spouse. And your marriage is your land. And when you humble yourselves and you pray and you seek God's face, He said, I will heal your land. When that happens, what you've decided to do is say, no, I'm not going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to put the matters into God's hand, because in His word, He says, I will fight the battles for you. The battle is the Lord's. And when you pray and you seek His face and His direction, He's going to give you the wisdom on how to navigate the situation. He's going to bring restoration back into your land, into your marriage. That's what He does. We're living proof. Pastor Donna's not with me today, but we're living proof of God restoring our land, our marriage. Because it was on the brink of destruction. It was on the brink of failure. But God restored it because He's a God of reconciliation. He's a God of restoration. That's who He is. He'll do it for you too. If he'll do it for us, he'll do it for you. And so the fourth thing you can do to overcome this spirit of offense is walk through forgiveness. Walk through forgiveness, even if you don't feel it. And if Pastor Donna was here today, she would tell you there were times in our marriage when she did not feel like forgiving me. She didn't. She was holding on to her hurt. She was holding on to her offense. She was holding on to her anger. And she did not feel like forgiving me. But this is what I can tell you. Just as you have to choose to be offended, right? Hurt happens to us. Offense happens to us. But we have to choose to be offended, to allow that thing to offend us. We also have to choose forgiveness. You have to choose it because you're not going to feel like it in the moment. I can guarantee you that. And I know my wife, and she would tell you the exact same thing. You're not going to feel like it. But in time, God softens your heart. When you choose to forgive, that torment that's in your spirit, that bitterness, that resentment that's in your spirit, God washes that away by the shed blood of Christ. He washes it away by the power of His Spirit. He'll wash it away if you'll let Him. That's why you have to choose. You choose to forgive out of obedience to the Word of God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, I'm getting there. Verses 14 and 15. And this is what it said. This is the words of Jesus. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you, right? When you don't forgive someone, our heavenly Father can't forgive us, right? Because the ultimate price of forgiveness was paid on the cross over 2,000 years ago when Christ died on the cross for us to forgive us of our sins. So the ultimate price of forgiveness has been paid. And so what God is saying is, look, if I've been willing to forgive you while you were yet a sinner, I'm asking you to forgive your brother from your heart, forgive your spouse from your heart. And when you do, those feelings of bitterness and rage, an unforgiveness, a discontent that's in your spirit, it's gone. It goes away. It leaves you. It's not a part of who you are. But it goes on in verse 15 to say, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we must. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Jesus is giving us a command. It's in red letters. If you have a red letter Bible, it's in red letters. This is what Jesus said. So now you can choose. You have free will. You can choose to do what you want to do. You can either stay in unforgiveness, or you can choose to forgive. And when you stay in unforgiveness, I can tell you that your spirit is going to be bitter. It's going to be resentful. It's going to be prideful. It's going to want to get revenge. That's what happens. And you're not free at that point. You're bound. You're in chains. You've chained your spirit literally through unforgiveness. And you don't want to do that because God gave you a way out. And He just says, forgive. And so some of you might be asking, how many times am I supposed to forgive my spouse? They offend me all the time. You know, they hurt me. I'm offended, or an offense has been, you know, done against me. How many times am I supposed to forgive my spouse? Really? I mean, it just never seems to stop. Well, you have to continue to pray, right? Humble yourselves. Pray, seek God's face. He's going to give you direction. Pray for your spouse. Pray for a change of their heart. But Jesus answered Peter in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. And I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to just kind of summarize what he said. But Peter was asking the question, like, if someone offends you or hurts you, does something against you, how many times, Jesus, are we supposed to forgive them? And he said, are we supposed to forgive them seven times? That was Peter's question to Jesus. And, you know, seven in the Bible, it represents perfection. And so maybe I don't know this, but I'm thinking, you know, Peter's maybe saying, look, seven times, I mean, that's really kind of representative of perfection. Maybe he didn't know that, but that's at least something symbolic in the Bible. But Jesus said, no, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven, you're to forgive your brother. What is Jesus saying? It's unlimited. There is no number. It's not like, okay, your spouse has run out of time. They've run out of forgiveness. You know, I've forgiven them seven times. I've forgiven them 10 times. I've forgiven them 20 times. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Continually forgive. Continually. Why? Because he wants you to be free. He doesn't want you to live in bitterness and anger and rage and disappointment and frustration. He doesn't want you to live there. It's not to say that you're not going to be disappointed at times. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, there's a spirit of joy that comes, an unspeakable joy that cannot be explained by this world, despite the challenges that you go through, despite those things. And so that's what forgiveness brings. That's why Jesus said, no, this thing is unlimited, Peter. It's unlimited. It's not seven times. It's not five times. It's not 10 times. It's continually living in a spirit of forgiveness. Living in that place. That place is what's going to free you from a spirit of offense. And so, you know, to bring this thing to a close and a summary, the spirit of offense has one purpose. It's a spirit. It's to destroy you and your marriage. That's what it's going to do. It's going to destroy you and your marriage. And offense comes directly from the devil. Why do I say that? Well, earlier I said offense attacks your mind. It attacks your thoughts. It attacks your ability to process and understand things. That's what the devil does. He comes and attacks your mind. That's the only place he can attack you, is in your mind, in your thinking. But when you renew your mind with the Word of God, as I've been teaching you today, the things that Jesus taught, when you do that, then you can resist the devil. Guard your heart, guard your mind, keep yourself focused on God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. You have to resist the devil. You have to resist the temptation of the thoughts and the lies that he's putting into your mind that you have a right to be offended. You have a right to be hurt. No, you're going to lay that down because that's what Jesus said to do. You're going to lay that right down and you're going to forgive. And when you forgive, freedom comes. Peace comes. Joy comes. That's what a life with Jesus does. Now, the choice to be offended will come. It's going to happen. And when it does, walk it out according to God's word. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind. Lean not on your own understanding, and he will make your path straight. That's what God does. When you seek God, you seek his face, you seek his direction, you seek wise counsel from a trusted friend who has and has displayed godly wisdom in their past, in your life, God's going to heal your land. Do it God's way. His way is better than our way. And it seems like maybe at times there is no way out, but there is always a way out with God. He is the God of more than enough. He is the God of solutions. He is the God of answers, and he has an answer for your situation. The other thing I want to remind you of is Jesus always forgives. He's our example. He always forgives. And that's what he was telling us when he was talking to Peter. Not seven times Peter, but 70 times seven. Jesus always forgives. He's our model. He's our example. I'm not. I'm just a messenger. That's all I am. I'm just speaking the word of God to you. Can I fall and make mistakes at times? Absolutely. But Jesus didn't. And he's our example. He's your example. He is the one that shows us who God really is and how God would handle the matter. Seek Jesus. Seek the way in the New Testament on how Jesus handled things. Listen to the words of Jesus. Follow what he says to do. Jesus said, I'll know that you love me if you obey what I tell you. Just think about that for a minute. Jesus said, I'll know that you love me, really love me, if you obey what I command you to do. That's devotion. That's surrender. When you're willing to lay down your right to be offended, to be hurt, and to follow his way. Because his way is a better way. You cannot walk in offense if you walk in the spirit of forgiveness. You can't. If you walk in the spirit of forgiveness, as Jesus is teaching us, you cannot walk in the spirit of offense. It's not possible. If you're willing to just lay down that right to be hurt, if you're willing to overlook, as an action, overlook the fault of someone else, you're going to be able to walk in a spirit of forgiveness. You're going to be able to walk in that place, and you're going to be walking in freedom and peace and joy that you never thought you could do. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 tell us this. It says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. That's pretty powerful. If you're willing to forgive others, if you're willing to make allowance for each other's faults, because you're going to make faults too, right? So it's extending grace to your spouse, and it's also through that that your spouse is seeing and learning that you're extending grace to their faults. They're going to extend grace to you. What a man sows, he shall reap, the Bible says. And so when you sow forgiveness and grace, you're going to receive forgiveness and grace. Can you say amen? Lastly, 1 Peter 2:21 says this. 1 Peter 2:21. It says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. He's our example. And you must follow in his steps. We can't follow in the steps of this world. The world doesn't have an answer to deal with a spirit of offense. They don't have an answer to deal with hurt. They're going to push you towards staying offended, being offended. You have a right to be hurt. That's what they're going to push you towards. That's what the world's answer is. But that's not the answer Jesus gives us. He's modeled the way. He speaks of the way to deal with this. He has the answer. So when you acknowledge your hurt, you don't necessarily seek counsel from people that aren't operating in the wisdom of God. And you pray and you seek God's face, and you walk with the spirit of forgiveness, you're walking in the ways of Jesus. You're walking in the ways that he gives us, his answers, his solutions to our problems, his solutions to the spirit of offense. He does that. But the question is today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you given your life to Christ? Because you can't have this power that I speak about. You can't have this wisdom of God that I speak about if you don't have Christ living on the inside of you. That's where it all begins. That's where it starts, is with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who died on a cross over 2,000 years ago to pay the penalty of sin that was actually due upon us. But God, in his great mercy and his love, sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to deliver us from sin, sickness, death, and the grave. That's what he did. God, in his great mercy and love for you and I, while we were yet still sinners, we didn't do anything to deserve this, right? Salvation is not something that you earn. It's a free gift that we receive and we accept by grace and by faith. That's what it is. Have you given your life to Christ today? Well, there's three simple things that you need to do. You need to recognize, you need to repent, and you need to receive. By recognizing, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's it. You have to recognize that you're a sinner, that you've fallen away from the ways of God. You've missed the mark. If you just think about a bullseye and bows and arrows, the bullseye is the mark, and it's very difficult to hit. And we can't hit that, not consistently, but Jesus did. He hit the bullseye perfectly all the time. He never sinned while he was upon this earth. And that's why he was the sacrificial lamb of God who came to die that death for us so that we could be free. And so you must recognize that you're a sinner, that you have sinned. You must repent. That's the second thing you must do. The word repent simply means to change your mind, change direction, change the lifestyle of sin that you may be living in and you have been living in. That's what you must do. You have to repent of those sins. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize I've fallen short." And we repent. And lastly, you receive. You receive the free gift of salvation. By faith, you commit your heart to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 11, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. You recognize, you repent, and you receive the free gift that God has given us through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. Would you just pray this prayer with me right now? If you've never given your life to Christ, if you've backslidden and maybe you've walked away from God, something's happened in your life and you've walked away from God, or you're just not sure of your salvation, would you just pray this prayer with me right now? By faith, with sincerity in your heart, and that you would be saved right now. So, dear Heavenly Father, pray this with me out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I have sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sin and that he rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death and every work of the devil that has been moving in my life. I confess my sinfulness. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, hey, I want to welcome you to the family of God. You know, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one lost sinner coming home. And I thank you for making that decision today. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you called on the name of the Lord, Jesus came into your heart, and he made you a new person. And from today, Jesus has created something new in you. And you're going to have the ability today, you're going to be empowered by the Spirit of God, the very Spirit of God, living on the inside of you, to overcome this spirit of offense, because now you have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives on the inside of you, and you have the power to overcome. That's what Jesus did. Yes, he saves us from our sin. Yes, we get to live eternally with him, but he gives you the empowerment now to live a victorious life right now in your marriage with your spouse. It is possible. It is all things are possible to him who believes. And today you made that decision to believe. So go to our website at revivalnow.com. You'll see a big red button there that says, I just got saved. Click that red button. It will take you to another page where we're just going to ask you some simple information about yourself. And we want to get you some resources. We'd like to email you a small booklet that would help you in your decision that you just made today. And we also have video resources on our website as well that you can watch just to help reinforce the decision that you made today. Well, hey, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for watching again, and we'll see you again next time.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.